It is the same name as our mapping in WebXML. So we have a servlet named that, and we have the same name dot application. And that's how it lines them up and knows which one to use. In our dot application, I'll just mention this quickly, is to use that contrib library that I mentioned, and that comes with Tapestry. Tapestry has the concept of namespaces. But any components that don't have a namespace in front of them is considered in the framework, so it's got to be built in. But if we want to use files or components from a different library, there is an XML file. This is another level of abstraction under the covers of Tapestry. You create a library of components, and that's what the contrib is. This XML file defines what the components are. And I simply say that I'm going to use the contrib library, brings them in. And now if I want to use the table component, I say contrib colon table. That's how I bring them in. And you can create your own libraries, whatever you want. This dot application file, you define a name. You can use that name if you want, or you can just leave it out. This engine class, we'll talk a bit about this a little bit later. You define properties here. This is how you can configure some of the extensions to Tapestry and define some of the plugin points for it. For example, there's a concept of global and visit. We saw the global in the initial code where I was getting the synonyms. I was calling global to get the synonyms. Global is just an object that has methods on it. There's nothing special about global. In fact, I'll show you what global is like. Global simply implements serializable. There's no Tapestry dependency here, really. And it has methods called synonyms for words. And then we're going to add another hook in here for words that start with some character. This is my business logic or my presentation logic that I need to work with. And this global is analogous to application scope, basically, in the Tapestry. This way you can have a central object, you have methods, data, and you should make it serializable so it can be distributable or whatever. If you don't, it's only going to work within that VM. And it's just a nice way to centralize some things within Tapestry. You can get to global from anywhere within Tapestry. So within the Ognal expressions, if I wanted to get some information from global, if I had a getter on my global, I could say Ognal colon global dot whatever the property name is and get at it. Okay, so the global is nicely visible. And there's a get global off a page, and we saw that in our home Java code where I got a global. Okay, so you get global. And so that's why the Ognal global dot works, because you're within the page scope and it calls get global. Okay. Global corresponds to application scope. There's a visit that corresponds to session scope. Now, talking about plumbing, we have a servlet expert in the house, so we'll quiz him while we're at it. When you're writing JSP pages, are JSP pages stateful or stateless by default? Jason.
By default, stateful.
Stateful. Alright. So, if you're going to write just a pure JSP application, and you want the best scalability possible, you're going to, at the top of every one of your JSP pages, you're going to turn that flag off, probably. That's general best practice. When you are in Tapestry, Tapestry stays stateless until such time that you call get visit. At that point, it will kick into stateful mode, but not until then. Another thing about Tapestry and plumbing. Suppose you have some rich object in session scope, and it's a Java bean, and it's got some getters and setters on it. I've got some servlet that gets that thing out of session scope, and then it calls some setter on that beam. My servlet finishes. If I'm running in a distributed application, is that value going to get replicated across my servers? Jason? What?
This is your talk.
What's that? I just wanted to get a true confirmation.
How your serialization is set up.
But generally not. You have to put it back in the session scope, the bean itself. Okay? So the point is that there's some plumbing that you have to be aware of when you're writing JSP and servlet applications about statefulness and how these beans, if you're putting a rich object into the session scope, the containers generally implement a servlet binding listener, and that gets a hook when something gets put into your session scope. And that's when it will do its replication across the farm or whatever. And what Tapestry does is when you call git visit, it sets a dirty flag. At the end of the request cycle, it automatically just puts the visit object back into session scope for you. It just calls a setter again. So basically, you don't have to be concerned about that particular type of plumbing. And you don't, even if you didn't set anything on that bean, just by calling git visit, it automatically gets put back in there. Whether that's a bad thing or not, I don't know, but it manages that plumbing for you, and you don't have to be concerned about knowing that there's this listener and that you have to set this rich object back in. Okay, this is a kind of a technical divergent, but it's talking about the plumbing of Tapestry and what it's doing for you in terms of scalability and session scope.
Is it smart enough to synchronize this across multiple servers? So if the same user is a patient, it's post bus, and the two requests are going in, and they're like set, let's say, two different servers, so you're trying to web app.
Yeah, it would get set. If one request went to the server and another one to the server, it would set the dirty flag, and then at the end of both of those cycles, it would reset it back in there.
Are there hooks you can set? Say you could listen for the dirty bit is set, and then handle the serialization yourself and set.
There's definitely pluggable. You could definitely capture some of that. Sure, that's getting pretty deep down, but it's definitely pretty pluggable. Okay, so now there's these two concepts, global and visit. Global application scope, visit session scope. And again, it takes care of the plumbing for you in regards to those things. And Tapestry has to configure, let me back up for a second. By default, you have a hash map for global and visit. You don't have to configure anything. Basically, you've got a bucket just like you have with servlets, at the raw level. You have a bucket of properties with keys that you can put stuff into. But if you want to configure what the visit object is itself, there's a special key called this, or Apache Tapestry visit class, and then you tell it a class name. And that class will get constructed the first time somebody calls git visit. And you have your rich object. So over here, we have a visit. Visit basically has a method that says add word to history. That's the main thing that we're looking for here. This add word to history is going to keep track of which words you clicked on and how many times you clicked on it. That's the example in this particular application. So we keep track of the frequency of words that somebody's looked at. And then we'll use a table to display that. And the rest of the methods in here, there's one to clear the history if you want. And the rest of it is just glue to get the data back out. But over in the application file, I can configure this, and that's where I do that. There's a key for global as well. I've jumped past configuring the global. That was in one step. Another step, I'm manually controlling the construction of global. I manually control the construction of global by specifying this engine class. By default, there's already an engine there. There's a base engine. And that base engine controls all the services that Tapestry performs. And this is what fed the creation of Hiveline, actually. And so the engine is the service controller, the framework, basically. And everything's kind of plugged off of this engine concept. A request comes in, the servlet gets the request, an engine is obtained, and that engine has all the services to handle that request. Okay? where that engine resides. If you're running stateless, there's a pool of engines, and it just gets one out of the pool, and you have a fixed one for that request only. If you're running stateful, the engine itself lives in session scope. So it depends on which way it's running, where that engine lives. And so all the services are hookable off of this engine. Let me just check our time here. We have about 2 minutes before the break. Let me take questions now, and then we'll return back to this after the break, because it's starting to get a little academic at this point for this thing. But I'll return back to the engine when we come back from break. Are there any questions about this? How it compares to other frameworks, maybe?
For the parser, it's handling the templates. You're showing some really well structured HTML. What if you have, say, an old website where you know your page type kind of
looks? Good question.
They parse through okay.
Yeah, the only thing that it really cares about is that tag the HTML that you're lighting up with componentry, with the JWC ID, must be well-formed. Everything else can be loose. That doesn't mandate anything else. So you can have LI tags without closing LI tags. You can have P tags without closing P tags, all that good stuff. So it's not checking that the well-formedness of anything, but it does mandate that if you're lighting up a component, it needs to know where the beginning and end of that is.
And so is that the same mechanism for doing the error reporting? So if you have, say, two errors on one line, that's the nation by the tag, so it would say, this is the line.
Well, you couldn't get two errors on one line because it stops when it gets one error. It's not going to keep going. But it doesn't tell you what position in the line. It tells you what line that it's on. Yeah. And it gives you enough context that you know which component it was. And I suppose I've been confused about that. I guess I don't string stuff across, but if you ever had something like that, put some white space in there and isolate to find out exactly where it was, if you had a really long line of components and stuff.
Is there any IDE support, say, like Eclipse, for the turning HTML templates into an IDE?
I don't know. You know, I'm not an Eclipse user, but the Spindle stuff has a lot of bells and whistles, so I don't think it has anything in there to handle that. But it may have something where you can just right-click and say, make this a component. And makes it types in the JWC ID or something like that. Any other questions before we break? Okay, well, it's break time, so I'll see you guys back in 15 minutes.